Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 184 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this will be program number 286. If you'd like us to ship you a copy of it, it's absolutely free. We have tape copies and CDs. Please specify which you'd like. Shipping and handling will take care of that also. But if you're able to take care of sending some kind of an offering, that would help, because you're robbing God if you don't give a love offering. And so let's do it, everybody, if you can. We have a real strong message tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whenever it is that you're listening to it. We've got testimonies and some singing. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we thank you, praise and praise you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for that every time I ask for you to anoint the service and to come against every power of darkness that's coming against it, because what it's doing is enlightening the minds and the hearts of the people in Radio Land, those that are unsaved and those that are saved as well. The saved get saved. The unsaved get saved, and the saved get stronger by the message that you give. Lord, we pray that you'll do that on this evening so that the souls can be saved and the church may be strengthened, and that Satan will be bound, and that every satanic force that's coming against us, that you'll bind it, and if it won't be bound, Lord, destroy it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, the people are writing in for our albums. This is our album called Life, and it's called I Believe in It. And it happens to be the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of our recordings, some of them are not ours, like I'm going to be playing a song after the service, but that won't belong to us. But this one does. It's called I Believe in It, the Power of God.
Thank you.
Well, that was produced and arranged by H.B. Barnum. In my estimation, probably one of the very best, well, for sure he's one of the very best in the world, and I like the way that he produces and directs records so much that I've used him for my producer and arranger, I mean arranger and director, for 50 years now. We've been together, and he's just got what it takes to do a great record. A lot of other people thought so too, like Frank Sinatra. And who are some of the other people that he has conducted?
Gladys Knight.
Lou Rawls. Aretha Franklin. He's been Aretha Franklin's conductor for 30 years now. And so many, many more. we're distributing the records for them, and they want $15 a piece for them. So if you want a copy of that album, there's a lot of good songs on it. Just send in your money, your $15, or whatever way you want, and we'll get you a copy of it. The record company charges, but we don't charge for any of our literature. All right, now we have some testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
El Cajon, California.
Okay, what do they have to say?
An elderly woman whose name is Dee Dee called the witnessing line, and she lives near the San Diego area. She said she read your testimony that was printed in their local newspaper. She was so very happy and was uplifted in her spirit to see that wonderful article printed in a newspaper that is so full of lies and ungodliness. She really praised the Lord and truly knows that after reading the literature that you are a strong man of God. I directed Dee Dee to the radio broadcast in her area, and she was very happy to be put on the mail list to receive more of your newsletters and also the Messiah book.
Well, you know, that's what our message is about tonight, is having strength. It's the fact that we must be the example of our Lord Jesus Christ if we want to get into the kingdom of heaven. The connection between the prayer life and the spirit life is close and indissoluble. In other words, you can't have a spirit life unless you have a prayer life. It's impossible. So it is indissoluble. Now, it isn't only that we can receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, we can receive the Holy Spirit, all right, through prayer. A lot of people ask, how do we get the Holy Spirit? Well, you can't have the Holy Spirit unless you pray. But the spirit life requires an indispensable, a very mandatory thing. And what is that mandatory thing that the spirit life must have before you can have the spirit life? If you want to have the spirit life, it requires an indispensable, a mandatory thing, and that is a continuous prayer life. And so you want people to say, well, that's a mighty woman of God. That's a mighty man of God. That the person that's saying that, I want you to realize that you don't just get that. You must pray without ceasing, as Jesus did. We must come unto him and follow him. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Now, it's mandatory that we tarry long, as Jesus did in the mountain. He prayed all night long so that he was able to face the things that would be coming up on the morrow. He prayed all night long because the Holy Spirit led him to do that. He led the spirit life and also the prayer life, the continuous prayer life. Anyone can be led by the Holy Spirit, but only as they continuously give themselves to prayer. A continuous prayer life That's what it is. Pray always and pray without ceasing. Now, I could be led continually by the Holy Spirit, but only if I continually give myself to prayer. Anyone who reads the Bible can see that very, very plainly. It's throughout the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed always. He prayed continuously. So you get a great view of the prayer, the power of prayer, and holiness of prayer by looking at the life of Jesus. He went to John to be baptized into the River Jordan. And even at that baptism, it was when he was baptized and he prayed that heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. Remember that in the Bible?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so if our Heavenly Father, if our Savior had to pray always in order to be victorious in this world, how much more must we pray continuously? Amen?
Amen.
Now that's in Luke 3:21-22. God wanted to bestow upon Christ a crown. He crowned Christ because he surrendered himself to the sinner's baptism. He says, John told him, look, I have need that I be baptized by thee, and you come unto me to be baptized? He said, yes, because I'm becoming sin, is what he was saying. This we must fulfill all righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
So I have to become sin or a curse because of you. All you human beings here on earth that I created out of the dirt of the ground. And so I have to be baptized just like every one of you, and that means that you have to be baptized fully submerged in water just like I did. And that happens to be the spirit life and the prayer life. They're indissoluble. Christ surrendered himself to the sinner's baptism in the River Jordan. So he led the example. He led the example himself to the sinner's baptism, and God crowned Christ to the surrender of himself. And if he wouldn't have surrendered himself, there would be no chance for us to be saved. So he allowed Christ to be baptized to the sinner's baptism. Why? Because he was going to become sin for us. And he was baptized in the River Jordan, which was also a surrender of himself to the sinner's death with the gift of the Holy Spirit for the work that he himself must do. Okay, so he had to accomplish all that. But all this could not have taken place without the prayer life. He would never have had the power to surrender himself to the death of the cross or the water baptism or to humble himself before John the Baptist and let John the Baptist baptize him if he didn't know the spirit life, if he didn't know what the Lord was telling him to do. In other words, it couldn't have happened unless he prayed. So, brothers and sisters, you need to pray, amen?
Amen.
All of us. In the fellowship of worship, the Holy Spirit was bestowed. The Holy Spirit bestows himself upon all that baptize. And the Holy Spirit was bestowed upon Jesus to lead him out into the wilderness to spend 40 days in prayer and fasting. We are all in this. All this in the first chapter. You can read all about this in the first chapter of Mark. Okay? So pick up your Bibles. You're responsible to read the Bible yourself. You know, when the Bible says, read, hear, that we're supposed to study so that we can hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, when I read the Bible, you hear people say, you know, did you read, did you hear what the Lord said on the pages of the Bible? Do you hear that? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the word of God, says. So it isn't just that you're to hear preaching, but it is also that you have to read the word of God in order to increase your faith enough to be able to have the power to pray. And in order, if you don't pray, you're not going to have the spirit life. The prayer life and the spirit life are two different things, and you cannot have the spirit life unless you have a continuous prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, where is the first? Oh, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. Okay, where is the next one from?
From Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, okay. Then what did they say?
Finally, something worth reading and truthful in the Oklahoma City newspaper. The Dry Bones full-page spread was such a joy to see as I opened up the paper.
You know, that came from a vision that the Lord showed me, and I was just praying all the time, just praising the Lord. You know, the Lord says, get back to your first love. I remember when I first got saved, the Holy Spirit came down so strong, and I was so just swimming in it, and I could, it was just so wonderful. And we have to stay in that wonder of the splendor of the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful. And so then when I just recount it and then write the words, the Lord told me, write the supernatural experiences that you had and put them in a piece of literature and put them out all over the world. And so I did. I don't believe that we've hit all the world yet. If you people that call yourself Christians would not rob God anymore and send your tithes and offerings in to us, so we'll get it all over the world. Or if you say, well, we don't trust you that you're going to spend it on that, I'll tell you what, you call the radio stations, and if you want to sponsor them, you pay the radio stations. Don't send any money to us. Or if you want to put this literature in other different newspapers, go right ahead. You pay for the newspaper ads, and you'll see how much we've been spending on that. And we don't we haven't really struck out for tithes before, but the Lord is laying it on my heart, but because it happens to be part of the Bible. And so read the book of Malachi, and the Lord says, God says, that you're robbing God if you don't send in tithes and offerings. And what are you robbing him of but human souls that will spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven if you put some finances behind this work and become a partner with God's work here on earth. Now, there's other churches, that's true. As long as they're preaching these strong messages, give to one of those churches, because God will give to us from somebody. Somebody's heart will be touched, and they'll do what the Lord commands them to do, because they don't want to stand before God and have him say, you robbed me, and no robber shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I'd rather rob someplace else than rob God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, sneak into your mother's purse. Huh? Yeah. Okay, no. Don't ever do that, because then that's stealing also. But it's worse to steal from God. All right, where's the next one? What else?
One more line from Norman, Oklahoma. Okay. He said, wow, that is really kicking the devil to the curb. Thank you again, Fred from Norman, Oklahoma.
That's it. You know, one little dog was just pulling at my leg, a little pit bull one time. And in order to loose him, I had to kick him to the curb. I just shook him off. And he made a loud noise. But that's what we need to do with the devil. Amen?
Amen.
I figured it was the devil that got into that little mutt. Okay, then what?
The next one's from Billings, Montana.
That's my old stomping grounds. That's where I went to school. There, Helen and Wyndham and Lewistown. Okay, what'd they have to say?
A man from Billings recognized Pastor Lamo's name in the Billings Gazette newspaper in the Dry Bones full-page article. He said he had received a pamphlet from the Alamo Church on his car windshield 10 years ago. He said he really wants more information on how to walk perfectly before God and also information on how to be able to refute those people that say you can just keep on sinning after you're saved.
Well, I have that. The Lord has given me those messages many times. All you have to do is listen to the radio broadcast and read my literature, and you've got it. And read the Bible, all right? And stay in prayer. And the Lord will open up the scriptures and will open up the heavens so that you'll be able to receive power unlimited from God. You'll have the prayer life. You must have the prayer life in order to have the spirit life. Okay, in other words, to know what to do and where to go and to be able to communicate with the Lord. We have to be in communion with him at all times. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
He also said that he has a lot of guts and will use what every strong spiritual biblical doctrine he can get from Alamo Ministries so that he can tell everyone how God really is.
Is that it?
That's all from Billings.
Okay. Billings, Montana. The Billings Mustangs. That's the baseball team over there. Okay, then what?
And then from Houston, Texas. Sir, thank you so much for the article you put in the Houston Chronicle. It was the truth and well said. I took it to my neighbors. America desperately needs a moral rebirth. We should be ashamed of the kind of immoral society we are leaving to our children and grandchildren.
That's because people are not out preaching the difference between sin and the power of God. If you're far away from the Lord, you'll get some faint idea of the curse and indescribable suffering which sin brought upon our Lord Jesus Christ and what it brings upon us if we continue to sin. And you can't know what sin is unless you read the Bible. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Because the Lord tells you what sin is and what power is. We must have power over sin, and none of us have that power over sin unless we become born again of the Spirit. Then this power, all power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. And when Jesus enters you, you have all power with him. He gives you all power over heaven and earth to be able to withstand sin, temptation, all these things. And he gives the instruction in the Word of God. He doesn't tell you to just stand before the devil when they come to you with some temptation. Somebody that's got a woman that's got her face all painted up and wearing a tight dress and high heels and all this. And you're not supposed to just stand there and say, the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. You're supposed to be like Joseph. If she grabs onto your coat, take off, run. The Bible says flee from the very appearance of evil, and that way you won't do evil. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be gawking at somebody that you think is cute. For all you know, they have a good case of AIDS or leukemia, or there's always something wrong with everybody today. I don't know anybody that doesn't have some kind of ailment. Amen?
Amen.
Not so much in our church, but boy, I'll tell you, yeah, out in the world, it's horrible. All right, so our sin brought upon all these things on Jesus, all this torture. And if we refuse to stay away from sin, you'll find out what sin is going to bring upon you if you continue to sin. Because to constantly disobey God, it won't be tolerated. God hates sin. Go ahead.
The greatest sin today is that we have delegated to other institutions what can only be done in the home.
I disagree. Yeah, things can, it has to be done in the home. Because if we can't do work for God at our own home, then we cannot do a work for the Lord in the church. If we can't do a work for the Lord in the church, how are we going to do a work for the Lord in the community? And if we can't do a work in the community, then how are we going to do a work throughout all other communities in the state? And then if we can't do that throughout the state, how are we going to tackle the whole world or the United States and then other countries? Amen?
Amen.
We're designated. We have been given an assignment to go to every country, to all the different countries and tongues. That's why I print up that Messiah book and all my literature in all different languages. So make sure you order it. So it's accursed is a person that continues not in the law of God to do it. We have to do it. Unless you're the most calloused person in the world, if anything could make us hate and despise and detest sin, it should be Christ, who you know died on the cross for you because of your rotten, filthy sin, and shed his precious blood there for you, that all your former sins could be forgiven. Because if you sin again on purpose and begin living a life of sin, there's a middle wall of partition that comes down between you and God, and he can't hear you anymore. As a matter of fact, if you start living a life of sin, you can't even repent anymore. Seven more devils worse than the one that was cast out of you, and the one that was cast out of you come back into you. And the latter state is worse than the former. So there's a petition that comes down between you and God and Christ. It's not going to come back and die again just because you like to sin, just because you like to do something that God despises so much. What he calls it is that you're trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot and putting him out to open shame. Because you were baptized, you said you were a Christian, and you're out there boozing it up, joking and laughing and joining the Antichrist cult from Rome, the government, and the media. And you begin believing it because you begin loving to live a life of sin. Okay, well, what else do you have there, Lydia?
Life's greatest tragedy is to lose the sense of God's presence and not miss it.
Amen.
It's from Laura, age 73, Houston, Texas.
Praise the Lord for you, Laura. Is that it? Do you got more?
There's three more. Sorry. One from Lawndale, California. I'm so happy to say I was reading The Penny Saver and I found your website. I love it. Rosie from Lawndale, California.
Praise the Lord.
And then Granada Hills. Good morning. I just heard Tony Alamo singing Onward Christian Soldiers. And another time I heard an orchestration but don't know the title of it. I checked the internet to see if I could buy any of his CDs or cassettes but couldn't find any listings. Is there any way I can obtain a CD or cassette of his wonderful songs and music? Many thanks, Nan from Granada Hills, California.
Well, these are on our record company has them listed on our website, and you can get them just by contacting us the way you did just now. They run, I believe, $15 a piece. We have several of them, and we'll be having quite a few more in the near future. Okay, and then anything else?
There's one from Kaluga, Russia.
Oh, this one is from Russia. This is a person hurting over there. Let's hear it.
Dear friends, please excuse me for this letter. My name is Valentin. I'm a student and live with my mother in a small town, Kaluga, Russia. My mother cannot see, and she receives pension very rare, which is not enough for medications. I work very hard every day to be able to buy necessities for my mother, but my salary is very small because my study's still not finished. Due to deep crisis, authorities stopped gas in our district, and now we cannot heat our home. I don't know what to do because the winter is coming and the temperature becomes colder each day. I am very afraid that the temperature inside our home will become very cold and we will not be able to survive. Therefore, I find several email addresses, and thanks to the free internet access in our local library, I decided to appeal to you with prayer in my heart for small help. If you have any old sleeping bag, warm blanket, electric heater, warm clothes, warm socks and shoes, canned and dried food, vitamins, medicines from cold, any hygiene products, I will be very grateful to you if you could send it to our postal address. And then he gives the address.
Well, we don't like, the Bible says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it unto me. So we don't like sending secondhand stuff to people. We like to buy brand new sleeping bags for him, and I sent him some money today. I didn't know how much money he needed because he didn't specify, but we put a note in there saying, if this isn't enough, let us know. I sent him $75, and I told him to get all these things for them and send it over there right away. I don't know, they might have been able to buy it cheaper over there, but we have a lot of these things. Clothing, they should have put down the sizes, so make sure that we write them and find out what sizes of clothes they need. All right, and we're definitely sending them sleeping bags and blankets, lots of blankets, I told them, and clothing, warm clothes, warm coats. And I need to know how much it costs to put their electric back on, all right, so they can be warm and not die. Okay, then what?
I hope to hear from you very soon, and I pray that you can help us. I also hope very much that this hard situation will become better in our region very soon.
I pray so, too.
From all my heart, I wish you a happy New Year 2007. I wish that the new year will bring happiness in your family and all your dreams come true. Valentin and my mother, Elena, from Kaluga, Russia.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, Sharon, you want to come forward? If you're able to read, you still got that. Thank you very much for reading those testimonies.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now we're reading from 2 Thessalonians.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Power unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
The only way that faith can grow is when we have a constant prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can have a constant spirit life. When you have a constant prayer life and a constant spirit life, then the things that you read in the Bible, that you'll start having the power to cast out devils. You'll have the power to lay your hands on people and they'll recover. You'll have the power to heal blind eyes. You'll have the power to raise the dead. But these things will not happen to you unless you have a strong prayer life, a strong spirit life. And the Lord will tell you, you know, you have such a vague, faint idea of God's power if you don't pray and walk in the Spirit, the Word of God. But when you do, you'll get great faith because you'll see that the things that the Lord says will happen when you do these things, they will happen for sure. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God.
Right, and we go like in this message. So everybody's, it says, then we read in the Bible about judgment. The judgment of God on that great day. of the Lord. And we see the bottomless pit of darkness wherein countless souls will be plunged under the fire and the brimstone because of the sentence. And what will that sentence be? The Lord says, quote, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Matthew 25, verse 41. Wasn't all these scriptures, they do something to a person if you have anything in your mind, your brain, and in your soul. These words, well, do they do anything to you? Do they convict you? Will it not soften your heart and fill you with a never-to-be-forgotten horror of sin so that you may hate sin with a perfect hatred? This is what the psalmist David said in Psalm 139, verse 22. Go on with your reading there.
"That ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you."
Right, so if I were anyone out there in the world, and you may in your mortal brain think that we're not of the Lord, but if you keep troubling us and see and note that God should give you some faith from this, because you're going to receive tribulation. Now, one of the people out there of recent just got a stroke, and a lot of people thought, well, it's because he was a homosexual. But it isn't just that he's a homosexual, which God hates, and God says they are worthy of death. But what it is this man is vicious and has been attacking our church. And now he can't even talk. He's been verbally abusing our church. And now he can't talk to do it. He's, in a sense, sort of petrified his tongue. Is there anything that can help you to understand what sin is? You know, God gives people strokes. What do you want to show you what sin is? So you have to you have to turn your eyes away from sin. You have to run from it, just like Joseph did. You have to turn your thoughts away from sin and your heart inward, and behold your own heart. You have to look at your heart. But how do you look at your heart? You look into the looking glass, which is the Word of God, to see what kind of man you are. And when you see it, don't ignore it and walk away and forget what kind of man you are. Get in there and start shaping yourself up to where you look good in the mirror rather than wicked when you see the rules and regulations of the Lord. And again, you're not going to be able to do that unless you have the spirit life. But you're not going to have the spirit life unless you have the prayer life. Pray that the Lord will enter into your heart and wash all your filthy former sins away, and that he'll come into you with his Father by the Holy Spirit. Look in the looking glass, the mirror, the Bible, and see if you see sin there. Shaping yourself up, if you see yourself looking ugly in the Bible, then pray to God, "Save my soul, Lord, enter into my heart, Jesus, with the Father, by the Spirit, and let me know what to do." You're not going to know what to do unless you read the Bible, all the rules and regulations of God are in the Word, in the Spirit. The Word is Spirit and life. Remember that every one of you out there in Radio Land have already seen the destruction that's happening in the world today. And this is the Lord warning people to get involved with the Holy Spirit life and with the prayer life. Everyone has also seen all the hatefulness and corruption and filth and degeneracy and the threats in the world. Godlessness. You've seen the sin. And that should teach you and me what sin in our lives is. In your own heart means all the enmity against God, the hatred against God, God's Word, God's children, the true people that are born again in the Spirit. God's Word, which is able to make you claim all the promises, and first of all, make you clean. All the ruin of mankind, all of its inner nature of hatefulness, lie hidden in the sin that you have. Look in the mirror. See if you're supposed to run people out of town. What kind of a church is that that you have? This is wickedness, amen?
Amen.
These are sins that you're committing. If you admit that you are a child of God and yet commit sin, allowing it to sometimes fulfill its loss in you, is it not fitting that you should cry out with shame? And it will do some good if it is, and if it was done in ignorance, but not if you're doing it knowingly, willingly, wantonly. The Holy Scriptures tell us, woe is me because of my sin. And that's what's going to happen to you. It's woe if you're just continuing sin. When you fight the work of God, when you have sinned, and when you're under conviction. Okay, go ahead and read, Sharon.
Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
Yes, now you don't want to be involved with the great fire that's coming. A lot of people in the day of Noah didn't believe that God was going to drown the entire world with water. But the Bible tells us that we need to say, depart. Those of you that are sinners, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord, unquote. This is what the sinner said to Jesus. That's why the Lord wants us to accept him and to turn away from sin. That's Luke 5:8. Go ahead.
The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And, you know, people are going to be involved in that because one great power of sin is that it blinds the human race so much that they do not recognize its true nature. The nature of sin causes people to be partakers in this great fire that's coming. Even the Christian himself. You know, chapter 2 in the book of 2 Thessalonians tells us there'll be a, a great falling away of people that were once saved. So don't let anybody tell you that if you're saved that you can't fall away, when the Bible plainly states that there is a great falling away today. Many churches are demonic. People that claim to be churches, or their churches, many of them, they find the excuse in the thought that he can never be perfect. But the Bible says that we are perfect if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But you hear that we can never be perfect by these false prophets. And that daily sin is okay, and that it's necessary. People in the world are so accustomed to the thought of sinning that you almost have lost the power and ability of mourning over sin. And also, the people out in Radio Land, many of you, they haven't been praying to the Lord so that you can have the spiritual life. So you have the carnal life instead. Okay. You haven't been keeping the power of God in yourself so that it keeps him constantly reminded of how sinful sin really is. And yet there can be no real progress of power apart from an increased consciousness of the sin and guilt of every transgression against God. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?
And all because you believe that God said it's okay to sin. God hated sin so much that he had his only begotten Son. He hated the fact that we were all dead in our sins and trespasses and on our way to hell. Do you really think that God allowed his Son to go through all that misery and then be nailed to a cross so that we could sin some more? You're as wicked. If you believe that, you're as wicked as the false prophets that are telling you that garbage. Now, you're in a lot of trouble if you think you can sin. And, you know, it's a long road, upward road. You better get started on it right away to discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. In the world to come, in the kingdom of heaven, it's going to be beautiful there. And you're going to miss out on all of it if you don't get your soul saved tonight. Because to reject the Lord is to say, well, I'm going to put it off for a while. That all that is rejecting the Lord. There can't be a more important question in the entire universe than this. Quote, how am I going to be able to regain the loss of tenderness, of conscience, and become prepared really to offer God the sacrifice of a broken heart? All right, Sharon, go ahead.
Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the power of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Well, my time is up, and the thing to do now is give your heart to Jesus. And the way you do that is to just say this prayer. And just repeat it after me to the Lord and mean it with all your heart and soul. say to God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. That's one of the greatest things to do, is thank the Lord and praise the Lord, because he inhabits the praises of his saints. Just keep thanking the Lord and keep reading the Bible, the King James Version, and share and tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 286, this program that you've just heard, free of charge, postage, and handling, the same. Go ahead and tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
You know, God destroyed Egypt, and it wasn't the Hebrew children because they were weak, they were slaves, they didn't have any weapons. God did it. 10 different plagues, and then he drowned all of the Egyptian army. And Joshua, he fought the Battle of Jericho, but it was the Lord that knocked down the walls. And here's Faye Springman to sing for you, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho.
The battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. You may talk about your king of Gideon, you may talk about a man of Saul. There's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. Right up to the walls of Jericho he marched, with spear in hand. Bulldozer's ram horn, Joshua cried, 'Tis the battle lamb in my hand. Then the lamb ram sheep horn begin to blow, trumpets begin to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the wall come tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the wall.